Sermon study number R2R number 10. The following message, titled Statures of Healing for Our Afflictions, was given Sunday evening, November 6th, 1960.
We're going to start a spiritual clinic here tonight. Many people have been very curious about what a spiritual clinic is, and they said they never attended one. Well, I've been to a lot of them. Praise God. Between me and Jesus.
Now, I'd like for you to turn with me in the book of Leviticus, in the 21st chapter, and I want us to read together in unison. And you'll find there, beloved, some diseases that God said if people had them, they could eat, but they could not minister in the holy place. Now, that was the picture. Listen, they had that natural. That was the picture. God acted out spiritual truth by pictures in those days. And beloved, I want you to take this thing to heart. I think it'd be good for all of us to attend spiritual clinic tonight. And it's not how you think you are, but it's what God knows about you. And so I want you to read together with me. Let's turn to the 21st chapter, and let's read in unison, beginning at the 16th verse. And reading through the rest of the chapter, and then you'll see where that we are basing our study and our lesson on tonight. Then we're going to go and show you how these afflictions that God forbids in the natural to come into the holy place are pictures in the spiritual. Now, if you go out of here and you don't learn something more than you knew when you come in, well, then it's your fault. Praise God, because we're going to give you the plain, unadulterated Word of God. Praise God. We're not just playing here tonight. Let's stand up. Reverence the Word of God. Stand up and read with us. Amen. Beginning with the 16th verse. And the Lord spake like a Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever be of God's people in their generation that had any witness, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a breach, he shall not approach a blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken footed, or broken handed, or crooked back, or poor, or hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scab, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of Yah. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the Most Holy and the Holy. Only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuary. For I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And Moses told it unto Aaron, and to his son, and to all the children of Israel. And the people said, Amen. Praise God. Now then, our nurse will take over and bring in our patients for us tonight. Praise God. She's leading her because she's blind. Amen. Sharon's come for blindness tonight. She wants to see a light, more light in the Word of the Lord, more light of His way. As we've told you and taught you over and over, the Word of God is laid out on the cross. I don't care which way you go, just look, and it's there. And we find a stature of truth concerning the cure for a blindness. We're going to see how Jesus worked in the natural, and it's going to give us a picture in the spiritual. And I want our doctors here now to speak up loud. And so we have Dr. Beatty here, and he's going to help Sharon here. praise God to get cured from her blindness. Now, she wants to see. Amen. So, Dr. Beatty, speak up and tell us what you have found there in the Word of the Lord.
Well, the Word of God in Matthew's 9, chapter 9, verse 29, it says, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And then we find in Matthew 15, verse 14, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.
Wait a minute, you give me Matthew 15:30. Now, he's told us that, first of all, your blindness can be healed by a touch from Jesus' hand. That is God. Just find Jesus' hand, and beloved, the very touch of it will enlighten your eyes and show you the way. Amen. Give me the one about the feet now, son. In Matthew 15:30 there, I believe that that's what you should have there. Matthew 15:30.
And the great multitudes came unto them, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet and healed them.
Praise God. Where did they get healed? One time they got healed by a touch of his hand. Another time they got healed at being down at Jesus' feet. And beloved, to get down at his feet, you've got to humble yourself. And I've got yet to see the time when I've humbled myself and come to his feet. But what he didn't open my blind eyes. And I could see greater his word. I could see greater his truth. I could see greater his way. In fact, we've got to keep on being touched by the Lord if we want our blindness healed. Now then, I believe that we have another doctor over here. I believe Dr. Hicks over here on the left will give us another portion of prescription here in this great truth of how to get healed from our blindness, where we can find healing for our blindness.
Well, in Matthew chapter 21 in the 14th verse, and it said, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." Well, first of all, we have to come to the church, to a gathering of the saints where Jesus is, where we can worship and praise him. And in this way, when they came unto him at the temple, he prayed for them and they were healed. And only through the reading of the word in the churches can we see the light and can we be healed. And this is how we are healed of our blindness.
Some blindness is healed by assembling together with the saints of God and hearing the preaching of his word. Some people were healed by his touch. Others were healed of blindness by coming into the temple. Isn't that wonderful? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because beloved, blindness will begin to set in. And so let's come to the house of God and our eyes will be open more and more. Now, I believe Dr. Wright here, Dr. Larry Wright, has another scripture there to help us on the healing of blindness, how to get healed from our blindness.
In St. Mark chapter 8, 22nd, 23rd, he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, "I see men as trees walking." After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Well, when Jesus spit on his eyes, he was canceling out the power of the devil. See, that was signifying canceling the power of Satan when he spit on his eyes.
Amen. So we find, now that's not a pleasant picture to some people. Would you be willing to get spit on to get healed, huh? Huh? That again speaks of humility. You see what I mean? This man was willing to accept the spit. And in the Eastern countries, they tell us that spitting on something was canceling the authority of that thing or that person. And bless God, when Jesus spit and put his spit upon the eyes of that person, he canceled that blind spirit. Oh, yes, he did do it. And by that man received sight. And that's the way it is with us. If we'll accept his authority for our lives. A lot of times you're wanting to go your way and you're still wanting God to give you light at the same time and open your eyes. It just don't work. When you accept his spit, his authority, beloved, to cancel everything that's unlike him, then your eyes will be open and you'll have sight. Isn't that wonderful? Now then, I believe Dr. Phyllis right here, she has something else to add in our little stature of truth. This shows us the four ways, and this made clear in the Word of God, where you can find healing for your blindness.
In John 9:6-8, we find When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore and they which before had seen him that he was blind said, Is not this he that sat and begged? So we find here that Jesus spit on the ground. And the spit speaks of the power to cancel the authority of that thing. And so he spit on the ground and then he made clay of it. So the authority of Christ is mixed with the clay. And the clay speaks to us of our flesh. So if we let the authority of Christ be put on our flesh and just go and wash in the water of the word, then we'll find healing for our blindness.
Amen. Did you hear that? How many of you, how can you hear back there in the back, huh? So what they're saying, it was reading there, Phyllis was, in the word about how that Jesus took spit and mixed it with clay. If you'll let Jesus mix his authority with your flesh for the purpose of washing it away in the pool of Siloam, every time you let Jesus wash out something out of you that's unlike him, you'll have greater vision and greater sight. Amen. Now, this is the prescription, the recipe, as it were, for healing. Beloved, not only in the natural, but in the spiritual. Now, there's some warnings that Jesus gave about blindness, and we want to take those. We're being in business for God. And so, beloved, it's a serious thing. Let's get some warnings about this matter, being blind. He's given us a little stature of truth on that, too, in the Word. And I believe Dr. Beatty has that for us in Matthew 15 and 14, I believe, son. Amen.
Matthew 15, 14, we find, Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Well, there is speaking that people, they come and they do not want to be healed of their blindness. There's a warning there that God says, well, if they don't want to be healed, just want to go right ahead, right along in their blindness, that they'll both, I mean, if they do not accept his healing, then they'll just... both of them, well, the leaders of the blind and the one that does not accept will go to hell. And
that's right. It's the ditch he's talking about. Amen. But sometimes there are little ditches along the way that we fall in, snares and pitfalls of Satan, because that we don't take heed, beloved, to this matter. It's a serious matter to be spiritually blind. We can be have the light on some things and be blind on other things. Did you know that? Praise God. Let's go on for God. Amen. And so then I believe Dr. Hicks over here, I believe she has something here on that subject for us. Warning. Amen.
In Matthew chapter 23, the 17th verse, Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? You know, when people are blind and they can't see, they can't put much value on anything. They don't, you know, they can only feel and they can only see. They can't see at all. And that's the way we are as Christians sometimes spiritually. We can't put values upon the right things. They were putting value upon the gold instead of the temple and the church where God was. And God was the one that sanctified the gold. And that is what is wrong with many people today. They're putting their worldly values and they're putting their minds on their... putting their values on things instead of God's value upon people and different things.
That's right. Did you get that, children, huh? That's a warning. When you don't let God take care of your spiritual eyesight, you're going to put value on the wrong thing. They was putting value on the outward adornment of the temple rather than on the temple itself. Amen. And sometimes, children, that's the way we are. Listen to me. This is the temple of God. And sometimes we put value on the clothing and on the outward appearance and the outward adorning, rather on the actual sanctifying of the temple itself. Amen. Let's let God open our eyes that we might place a true value upon the right thing. All right, I believe Dr. Larry here has a warning for us also.
In St. Matthew, the 23rd chapter, and 24th verse, ye blind guys would strain at a net and swallow a camel. There he was talking to the Pharisees, but there's a lot of people nowadays that do the same thing. He said, ye blind guys would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Well, they swallowed the, yeah. They swallowed all the things they want to swallow, but they'd strain at the things that hurt. But they were trying to find the small things, you know, to cause strife about.
I believe what Brother Larry is saying there.
Yeah.
He said there's. He gave us a scripture here now in Matthew that they strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. They pretended to be so holy. This is what blindness will do. That they'll pick on somebody else and strain out a gnat. They wouldn't swallow his gnat, but they'll turn around and swallow many a camel of their flesh. And that's what we do. We're trying to strain out sometimes, beloved, as Christians, the mote that is in the other fellow's eye, the little speck, that's what it means, the little splinter, and then we've got the big camels or the big beams in our own eyes. Yeah. May God help us and enlighten our eyes, beloved, that we might see. When you really see spiritually, you're going to see your own condition even more than your brothers and your sisters. That's right. That's how you go on for God. That's the only way you can go on. Now, I believe Dr. Phillips here has a verse for us, a warning on blindness.
In Matthew 23:26, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So many times people clean the outside. So many times the people clean the outside when they get saved, as far as, you know, letting long hair and taking off the makeup. And the inside of the platter is still left dirty and ugly because they haven't really repented. They're just trying to buy the way to heaven. But if we clean the inside first, then the outside will go along.
Amen. Amen.
It seems strange to think that you can clean the outside and the inside be dirty, but you can't clean the inside and the outside be dirty.
That's right. Did you get that? That's good advice. Beloved, it's serious to be blind because you won't be able to see within. And what she's saying that sometimes, now you listen to me, and it's all right to be clean on the outside. God wants that. God wants us to look holy. He wants us to be holy. But sometimes, beloved, we put more stress on the outward, you know what I mean, than we do on the inward. Let's let God look at our inward attitude and disposition. How's your patience? How's your love? How's your humility? How's your faith? Now let's get the outside clean, but let's get our eyes open so we can see down on the inside like Jesus sees. Amen. It's a serious thing to be blind. The blind can't see the ditch and they're going to fall in it. The blind can't see the value of the temple. They're only looking at the gold. The blind can't see the camel for swallowing the for straining out the gnat. You see what I mean? And it can't see within. It's a serious thing to be blind. Now, how many of you want God to open your eyes more here tonight, huh? On the inside, praise God. Sister Kathy says she's got a lame foot and she's with her cane there, and she has come to clinic tonight to get some help for her lameness. Amen. And so we want to go again. Where else would we go except the Word of God? And so we'll just take off. Isn't it wonderful? Beloved, I don't know if you have the same vision. I just can't help but see, because that's what God shows me. Everything that we need is in the cross of Jesus. You believe that? Because God said He hid in Jesus all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all in Him. So we'll take off this concerning the blind, and we'll see how God has laid out in the Word the recipe for the lame, just the same as He has for the blind, and we'll find it all in the cross of Jesus. Amen. And so I believe that Dr. Beatty here has a prescription for us concerning lameness, Kathy. You listen to the Word of God.
Well, Matthew 15, verses 30-31, it reads, "And great multitudes came unto Him, saying, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Well, for your healing there, first you got to humble yourself and fall. You'll get your healing at the feet of Jesus. I mean, you got to come and be cast down. Cast yourself down at the feet of Jesus, and he will heal you if you along with your faith. You got to take your faith and then humble yourself and cast yourself down at the foot of Jesus, and he will heal you.
Amen. Did you hear that back there? How did you hear the recipe? The feet of Jesus, beloved, is the most precious place for lots of kinds of healing. And so we find that Jesus brought the lame, or they brought the lame to his feet. So David told her that if she would humble herself and bring her faith and spend some time. What do you find at the feet of Jesus? Now you're Bible students, or you ought to be. Let's find three things that Mary, I've taught you that, you should remember. What are the three things that Mary found at the feet of Jesus? Remember that, huh? She found what? Instruction, didn't she? At the feet of Jesus. Beloved, that's a good place to get it. If you need healing, you say, Sister Trix, I just can't get my healing. I just can't get victory. Well, spend some time at the feet of Jesus and he'll instruct you about it. What's the next thing Mary found at the feet of Jesus? Comfort. When her brother died, Lazarus was dead, she ran and fell at the feet of Jesus. Beloved, maybe you're lame, or maybe you're blind, or maybe something else is wrong. If you'll spend some time at the feet of Jesus, he'll comfort you while he's teaching you. Oh, blessed be this holy name. Isn't he wonderful? And what was the third thing Mary found, huh? Instruction. She found instruction. Remember when Martha was in such a hurry and she was all cumbered about with the cares of this life? Mary, she was just sitting down there at the feet of Jesus. Well, our worship. Remember, she found worship. A lot of people are not healed, Brother Rancher, because they don't know how to worship God. Praise and worship will bring your healing, children. My. There's power in praise. There's victory in praise. And we find Mary down at the feet of Jesus, breaking the alabaster box of ointment and worshiping and praising him. Oh, hallelujah. Beloved, listen, there's things that you can find at the feet of Jesus as well as your healing. All right, I believe Dr. Hicks over here has another portion for us there again.
Well, this verse comes from the same one I have repeated a while ago about the blind and the lame come to him in the temple, and he healed them. Well, again, you have to come to Jesus in the church or in your place of worship where you can learn and see the light, and you are taught the Bible, and there will you find the way, because that is the only way, is the Word.
When people start forsaking the semen of themselves together, beloved, you're going to get out on the devil's stubble. Did you know that? And you're going to get a lame foot. Amen. And so if you'll stay close to the house of God. God meant for it to be that way.
Amen.
If he hadn't, beloved, he wouldn't have said apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers over the body of Christ to watch for your souls. Amen. And to feed you the Word of God. Oh, my. And so we can find healing for our lameness in the house of God, in the temple. Now, I believe Dr. Larry here has another verse for us on that also. All right, son, go ahead.
Acts 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 6. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. First, he had to come to the temple. Secondly, he had to wait on God and God's servants, God's people. going to the temple and fellowship with God's people and God's servants. That's it.
And why did God's servants have power there, son? What did they use?
Jesus.
Well, the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus, that's right. There's power in the name of Jesus. And so we find then that there was healing granted in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus can take care of your lameness, beloved. Because lameness can come a lot of times because you have sometimes ignorantly or willfully or desired to go in a way that's been contrary to the Lord. But there's power in the name of Jesus. If you just go around, breathe in the name of Jesus. And sometimes I just feel like I'm eating His name. When I say Jesus, when I'm home alone, just meditate. It seems like I'm just eating a big hunk of manna every time I say His name. There's power in the name of Jesus to heal you from your lameness. Amen. Now then, real quick, Phyllis, give us the next one there, honey.
In Acts 8, chapter 5-8, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And so we find that the lame were healed. We find that the lame were healed in this city because that they received the word that was preached to them. And if we'll receive Christ as the word and keep receiving the word in our heart, then we'll find our healing in that word.
We find a warning about lameness over there, beloved, in the book of Hebrews in the 12th chapter and verse 13. We find Paul saying this. He said, "And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." There's a warning there. You can't stay in the way with lameness. God's not going to let it minister in His sanctuary. It's going to have to be turned out of the way. And so it's a serious thing to have spiritual lameness. What is lameness? Something that's afflicting your feet. There's something that's keeping you from walking straight. When we walk in this life, our feet are going to have to fit in the footsteps of Jesus. And beloved, His footsteps didn't detour. They didn't curve out. They just went straight in the will of God. Amen. And so, beloved, our lameness is going to have to be healed spiritually if we want to walk in the way. Now, let's pray for Kathy here that the Lord will help her spiritually. How many of you feel like you'd like stronger ankle bones? Stronger feet to walk more perfectly in His way of holiness, in His love, in His humility, in His faith, in His peace. Lift up your hands and pray for us and pray for Kathy. Pray for yourself. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah.
I've got some trouble with my nose. They call it a flat nose. I have trouble discerning the difference of the Lord and the devil sometimes.
Well, son, we got to get you fixed up before you go to the mission field. You'll be in a terrible shape if we don't get this flat nose cured before you get over there. Now, people would laugh about that, but we read it in the book of Leviticus, didn't it? That God said your nose is flat, that you can't serve at the altar. Why? Your nose, beloved, in the nose of your soul is your conscience. Sometimes we teach on the threefold nature of man around here. But the nose of your soul is your conscience. And so God wants to sharpen up your nose and lift it up so it's in the big flat and hardly any air fits through. You can't smell very good and you can't discern very good. God wants to open up your nose and your nostrils so that the good breath of the Holy Ghost is flowing through. He's the discerner.
Yeah.
A lot of people have got colds, spiritually speaking. Did you know that? And their noses are stopped up. And the devil comes along and gives them something, and they haven't got sense enough to discern the difference, and they just go on and eat it because their nose is stopped up, and they can't smell it's rotten and corrupt. But if we ever need our nose open, we need it open in the day in which we're living. The devil's got all kinds of things he's passing out in the day in which we're living. And if our spiritual noses are not opened up, that we can discern by the breath of the Holy Ghost, we're going to be in a sad shape. So now, where are we going to go? We're going to go back to the cross of Jesus. We find the statue of truth for the nose. I never put this in the Word. I just found it. That's all. It's in God's word. And so we find our doctors here. Dr. Beatty, you read for us there and give him a prescription there. Praise God.
In Genesis, the second chapter, in the seventh verse, you find, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And in Exodus 15:8, we find, "And with the blast of thy nostrils, and the waters were gathered together, the floods stood up right as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea." Well, first, your nose in the spiritual speaks of your conscience. And if your conscience is all clogged up, you won't be able to discern the right from wrong. You just like the brother here is having from the devil, and discern the difference between devil's work and God's work. And so, first we got to get this nose cleaned out, and so we can discern, take God's nose, the breath that come out of his nostrils. It was so powerful that the waters just stood together, and they congealed, like come up to the Red Sea. God just breathed upon the water, and the water just
back. I mean, it just
congealed back, and the children of Israel went right through. Well, that's what God wants us to have in our nose, our spiritual nose, so that we can discern. I mean, and when we come upon trials and tribulations, I mean, we could breathe upon them, pray through it, and God open it up and give us a clear way through. And so if we just believe upon the Lord, I mean, and let God clean out our nose and breathe in it, well, you'll be able to discern right from wrong.
Isn't that wonderful? What David was saying was that in the natural, the Lord put the breath of life in your nostrils, and when that breath goes out, you're going to be dead. And so for the spiritual nostrils, he's prepared the blessed Holy Ghost. And like the Lord breathed out, my. Blood, we need the breath of the Holy Ghost coming out of our nostrils. And when we come to a Red Sea or we come to an enemy, God, the Spirit will come out of our nostrils, our spiritual nostrils, breathing out and making a way, clearing the way. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I believe Beverly has something to give us there too.
In Psalms 18, the 8th verse, it says that there went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and a fire out of his mouth devoured. The coals were kindled by it. Well, in this particular psalm, David is speaking of the Lord, of God, and his nostrils, and the smoke that went out of his nostrils. Well, when there's a smoke, you know there's got to be a fire somewhere. There's got to be a fire.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And this fire is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost came out of his nostrils.
I'm the Most High God. Yes, he is.
And the Lord wants our noses to have the smoke and the fire that is in us. And if that fire is in us, the smoke is going to come out. And that smoke is the Holy Ghost. And by having the Holy Ghost coming out of us, this is going to kindle other coals, other people around you and about you.
Yes,
and without this, how is anybody going to have revival or get anywhere on the mission fields if they don't have the Holy Ghost to lead them?
Praise God. When we think of smoke, we think of the smoke from the altar of incense that come up from that fire. Praise God, which was a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Beloved, if we let the fire of intercession rise up in us and the smoke come out through our nostrils, usually there's some sparks of fire in smoke. Did you know that? And it'll get on somebody else. Amen. Praise God, it's wonderful. So what does God want in your nostrils? Brother Donnie, he wants the breath of the Holy Ghost. That'll help to straighten up that nose. Praise God. Push it up and shake. And he wants the smoke of intercession going out of your nostrils, and that'll give you power. Amen. All right, real quick here. I believe Dr. Larry here has a verse for us to help us in the truth here. Amen.
Psalm of Solomon, the 7th chapter and 4th verse. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory, thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Well, a tower speaks of discernment. You know, a tower, if it's very high at all, you can see a long way off.
prophecy.
Yes,
you
will
see who's, what's coming towards you and what's, you know, what's out there.
Around you. Amen.
Yeah, you can see all around you. And Lebanon speaks of cleansing. So that shows us that the Lord wants you to have a clean and pure discernment.
That's right.
And you're not going to be able to build your own tire, but
that's
it's got to be His tires.
Yes, amen.
So,
that's it.
Once you get praise His God. Tire, well, you're going to have the right discernment.
That's right. Did you hear that? Instead of having a flat nose, Brother Donnie, the Lord wants you to have a nose like the tire of Lebanon. That if a person had a nose like that, the natural, they'd be going to a plastic surgery, wouldn't they? Get it cut down a little bit. But bless God, in the spiritual, God wants you just to have a tire, a nose like the tire of Lebanon. It'll be a pure tire, a holy tire, that you can smell that old enemy way out yonder. When he starts getting a little bit close, why then you start rebuking him. You don't even let him get close to your temple. Praise God, we need a bigger nose, beloved, spiritually speaking. Amen. Hallelujah. To discern and to smell His approach afar off. Isn't that wonderful? God wants you to have a nose, son, like the Tower of Lebanon. Now then, I believe Sister Phyllis here has something for us on that too.
In the Song of Solomon 7:8, I said I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy bread shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples. So we find here that the Lord wants our discernment to be like apples, or to smell like apples, and you know, apples smell good. And many times that our discernment is not always good. We're always trying to find something to criticize someone else, or trying to find something that they're doing that isn't right. But the Lord wants us to have our discernment like apples, instead of discerning, trying to find things to criticize, we're trying to find the good things and the good part of their heart.
In other words, the Lord wants fragrant, and His discernment will be fragrant. A lot of times, how many times have you thought God discerned something to you and you found out it was the flesh after all? Let's see your hand. Be honest. We've all had that experience one way or another. We felt it was God, and then we found out it wasn't after a while. We found it was just ourselves thinking that or feeling that. So the Lord wants your discernment to grow until it be fragrant, like the bride was described there in the Song of Solomon. Like her, He said, your nose is like apples. Now, if a man told his sweetheart that in the natural, they'd be, she'd get mad at him. Well, you just wouldn't tell your sweetheart that her nose looked like an apple or smelled like an apple. But Jesus, the bridegroom in the Song of Solomon, told his bride that her nose had the smell of apples.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. And the sweet discernment of the Lord. You know, an apple, it's a fruit, and it's fragrant, and it'll stir up hunger. Did you know that? In other people's hearts. And beloved, God wants us to have discernment of the Word, pure, holy discernment of the Word that'll be fragrant like apples and stir up a hunger in somebody else's heart for Jesus. That's right. All right. And so we find Brother Donnie over here, another way to develop your nose. Over in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, we have a recipe for developing your nose. And so it'll stand up bigger and it won't be flat. Amen. We find Paul saying over there, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the work of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those, listen to it, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Are you using your senses? Or are you letting the devil just cover them over? God wants you to use your sense. And beloved, I'm going to tell you, none of us are going to walk perfect in this way. When you first start out, you're like a little baby walking. You'll make mistakes. You'll fall down. You'll skin your knee. You might bump your nose. But God wants us to use our senses anyway. That's how you learn, is by exercising them. Amen. Praise God. And then they'll grow stronger. And so, son,
If you'll exercise your nose with the breath of the Holy Ghost, you'll exercise it with the smoke of prayer. If you'll exercise it by the Word and let it push upward like the Tower of Lebanon, if you feed upon the Word and let the precious fruit of the Spirit of God come through you, there'll be the fragrant smell, as it were, of apples. Amen. And you make somebody in Africa hungry for Jesus. Amen.
Now, don't be discouraged. We're not going to take all those afflictions tonight. I'd have to be here on a marathon to get you through. But we're going to take a few more here tonight. Go ahead, nurse.
I got some stuff for the friend.
She has some superfluous things, praise God. Barbara, I imagine the rest of us have a few superfluous things. Notice he said back there in Leviticus, anybody that had anything superfluous, they couldn't come. What does that word superfluous mean? In the natural, it meant anything excessive or abundant, like if a man had six fingers instead of five. He had six toes instead of five. If he had an excessive growth of flesh or something upon him, he couldn't come to minister in the holy place in the natural. And beloved, that's true of us in the spiritual. No wonder so few people spend much time in the holy place. They're not fit, beloved. Even as Christians, most Christians are living in the court. Did you know that? They're living beneath their privileges in Christ. And so that which is superfluous, that which is excessive, of the flesh and of the self-life. You know what Paul talks about over there in Hebrews, the 12th chapter? He calls it weights. He said, lay aside every sin and every weight. Praise God. There's a lot of things, beloved, in your life that maybe they're not just real sinful as far as the world would look on them or the average Christian, but if it's a weight to you, you need to get rid of it. It's superfluous. It's an excess. You don't need it. There's a lot of things we hold on to and drag along with us. We don't need them. They just hinder us from going on for God. All right, let's hurry up real quickly. Go ahead, son.
In Jeremiah 15:16, we find, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And over in Matthew 4:4, we find, let's find it. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, superfluous there, as it said, means excess. Something is that you have it, you don't need. And one of the biggest, things we have is eating too much. And instead of eating so much in the God, instead of God wanting us, he wants us to eat more in the spiritual, in the spiritual realm, like reading your Bible and praying more instead of eating and drinking food and water. And before we can go on with God, you're going to have to get this superfluous things out of your life. And that is one way to do it is by praying and reading the Word of God.
Amen. When we get a hold of the Word, there's some things, beloved, you don't have to worry about. They just kind of drop off as you go on for God. As you eat more of the Word of God, well, there's things that just drop off, habits and attitudes and disposition as you feed upon the Word of God. Amen. And the way that you spend your time, sometimes you spend your time, you waste your time as a Christian. And it's no good to just hound people about it, tell them they ought to do this, then you get them in bondage. But preach the Word to them. Let them begin eating the Word, and pretty soon those things drop off because they begin to grow in love with Jesus, begin to prefer Him to the different things that they did and used their time for before. All right, real quick, I believe Beverly has a verse on that for us, don't you? Mark 4:14, there is your verse.
The sower soweth the word, and when the this is speaking of the parable there that the Lord was telling unto the multitude, and you all know that some things fell on good ground, and some bought forth 30, and some 60, and some 100. But not all hearts are going to take in the same as one of the other ones are. And these superfluous things will interfere.
All right. What she's trying to say is that some of the ground didn't bring forth. Why? Because it had superfluous things on it. Had stones on it. And the Word don't need stony ground. Those superfluous stones will hinder the growth of the Word of God. There were some thorns in some of the ground, and those superfluous thorns will hinder the Word of God. And so God wants to get the superfluous things out of our life, and we'll let the Spirit of God sow it in our hearts, and we'll be busy sowing it in other hearts. Beloved, there are a lot of extra excessive things in our lives that hinder, that will be taken care of just through the Word of the Lord. And real quick here, Larry, I believe you have a verse there for us, son.
In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 2nd verse through the, well, the 1st and 2nd verse. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for so much as ye have manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Well, God wants us to have His Word written in our heart, in our spiritual man, and if you've got the Word, it'll judge your flesh, all the excess flesh.
That's right. And that, what Larry's saying is that if we get the written Word, Paul is talking about people that had the Word written on their hearts, and they were epistles open and read of all men. God wants us to be living epistles, and beloved, we can't be living epistles unless we let the Holy Ghost take this Word and write it upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. Amen. And get rid of the extra things, the weights, the excessive, the superfluous things. Amen. And real quick, Phyllis has the last and the most beautiful, and that's how we know that we get victory over superfluous things by the Word. That's why we took the stature that the Spirit is given here. And in James, it makes it clear. Phyllis, give us that verse real good.
In James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. So here we find the engrafted Word. The engrafted Word is the Word that has been living, that has life in it, like when you come to church and the minister will give forth the Word. Well, the Word there has life, and it's living, and you take it and let it become a part of you without really any studying and praying on your own part, you know, to get it. But even still, there must be an incision in your heart. That part of the affliction is still there, because before a limb can be grafted to another tree, there has to be an incision in that tree. And so there must be an incision in our heart so that the Word can be grafted into our heart.
Did you understand what Phyllis was saying? Before a graft can take place in the natural, you grasp something that's already sprung up. I mean, a bud or a branch or something. Before that grafting can take place, there must be an incision upon the tree that this graft is going to be placed. Isn't that wonderful? And when you come, beloved, you get the buds of truth at the house of God, or maybe in your prayer closet, the Holy Ghost gives you some buds of truth. Let God make an incision, as it were, of crucifixion, oppression anew of Jesus, into your heart, that He might place that into your heart, that it might become a part of you. Isn't that wonderful? That's how we get victory over superfluous things. He said, lay aside all a superfluity and anonymous, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word that's able to save your soul. Amen. That's how that you do it, is by going on.
In one sense, you go in, you preach to them, but you don't care that pastor's burden. It's a burden, beloved, that you're conscious of when you're occupying that position, that almost weights your soul to the ground. As it were, you feel, God lets you feel the needs of your people. I can feel their suffering. I can feel their needs. Sometimes God will send me to the prayer closet like He did yesterday for the need of someone. Have the Holy Ghost intercede and prevail. You bear a constant burden when you're a pastor. and the many scars, the many heartaches that you have to suffer. It isn't easy when you've sown the word of God into a heart and you've watered it with your tears and you've plowed up and down with the word of God.
Yes.
And you've waited for the precious fruit to come forth, and then sometimes you have experience like God had with Israel. Then instead of the precious fruit of the Spirit coming forth, well, you find a wild vine.
Yes.
That's coming forth.